Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.
But today we're continuing our series about adulting. And what I kind of want to speak on today is patience. Because adulting requires patience. Which brings me to a story. Last week, I had the opportunity to go camping. I went up to Watertown. I met my parents up there, brought my whole family up there. And my little nephew, who is 11 years old, was there as well. His name's Ignatius. The kid has a ton of energy. He's awesome. Like, more energy than is this humanly possible. He's everywhere at once. And he has absolutely zero patience. Great combination. But anyways, we're camping. My parents get the camper all set up. It's a pretty nice little setup. By the way, are there any tent campers in here? There's this big discussion of whether tent camping is legit or camper camping is legit. Tent campers? Yeah. Camper campers? All right. Hotel. I don't know if you want to start a fire in a hotel. It might be frowned upon. But anyways, I don't consider camping either way unless you start a fire, because we have our food, we cook our food on the fire, we sit around, we tell stories at the fire, we hang out at the fire. Everything when I camp is focused around the fire. And I love the process of starting the fire too. You know, you get your little leaves, your dry leaves, and you get some small kindling, like little twigs and stuff like that. And then you get a little bit bigger branches and a little bit bigger branches. And then you get the logs, you get it all ready to go, right? And then you start the leaves on fire and you slowly start burning. As it gets hotter and hotter, you can add bigger logs on. That's my process. That's how I do it. So, well, I'm explaining this to my 11-year-old impatient nephew. As I'm explaining this, he's like, no, that's not how you do it. Walks over to the camper, grabs the jug of lighter fluid, grabs the butane torch, glug, 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 just starts dumping the lighter fluid on the fire. Glug, 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 glug. Thing goes up in a huge fireball. I mean, this thing is amazing. You could have saw it from outer space. I was like, touche, this is great. So he's like, see, that's how you start a fire. I'm like, okay, you got a point, you got a point. It was a great shortcut. So, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today is shortcuts and skipping the shortcut. So when I was a kid, I was a lot like my nephew. I was extremely impatient. I was always looking for a faster, better way of doing things. And in fact, I've got a little story to tell you. When I was 14 and I first learned how to drive, we had golf practice after school. And for me, school was a little bit farther away than like here in Sioux Falls. Like, oh, golf practice, just go across town and you get to go to golf practice. For me, it was 20 miles away because I lived in the middle of nowhere. So I borrowed the family van my parents lent to me. And it's not just like a little van, guys. It's not a minivan. It's not a mini-me. You'll get that joke later. It's a full-size Econoline van. Like, the lights in the inside, it's got the TV over there, it's got the carpet all over there, window shades pulled down. This thing is like a miniaturized RV, right? So anyways, after practice, my buddy is like, hey, I got this great shortcut. I know how to get home. I'm like, all right, seems legit, right? 14 years old, doesn't see any problem. I don't see anything wrong with that. So we're going along, and it is going awesome. We're hauling. I'm following him. He's got a little 4x4 Nissan pickup. I've got a giant Ford Econoline van, and we're sailing. And these aren't paved roads, people. These are dirt and gravel. So you see, like, the hurricane behind us. Anyways, we get to a point where the road gets really narrow, and only one vehicle can go down it at a time. Not only that, but there's water on both sides of the road, okay? And I'm not saying out in the field, not in the ditch. It's right up to the road. Okay? So if I fall off, I'm hosed here. So anyways, he goes across, makes it just fine with his little Nissan pickup. Everything goes great. I'm like, all right, my turn. And it's about a half-mile stretch that this water road thing is on, right? And so it's not like, oh, 10 feet, I'm done. No. So I'm going along. I'm about halfway. This is going really well. I'm hanging my head out the window because I only got about 6 inches between the tire and the edge of the road. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh. You guys know that feeling? You ever got stuck in snow or mud, and all of a sudden the vehicle just drops, and there you sit? That's what happened to me. So keep in mind that it was getting dark at this time. My parents told me, go to golf practice, come straight home, take this road, don't go anywhere else or else. So I was already going to be in trouble because I'm late. It's getting dark, and this is BC, before cell phones. So I couldn't call and be like, hey, mom, I'm running behind a golf practice. Went long today. Weird. No, I couldn't do that. So we were like, are trying to come up with ideas. My friend's got a shovel in his truck. So we start shoveling it out. That only makes it worse. I'm like looking around. He's got a toolbox, but it's got a lock on it, and he doesn't have the key. I'm like, great. This is going well. So finally, like, all right, bust the lock off, and we get in, and there's a chain. We're like, home free. So we're a little, you know, a little worried when we're backing the truck up that you know, the same thing might happen to the truck. But we get there, we get the van all hooked up, and then we go to hook up the truck, and there's no hook. There's no hook on the other end. Who does this? Is this a sick joke? It's like, great, what are we going to do now? So what we end up doing is MacGyvering the padlock and some wire that we found and tying it up to the truck, and it worked, guys. Thank you, Jesus. It worked. We pulled the truck out, slow but sure, and got to the other end, past the water. We were home free, or so I thought. We go a little bit farther. There's a tree, a giant tree, like 3 foot diameter. I'm not talking like a little twig fell over. Giant tree fell across the road, which wouldn't be a big deal, right? Except there's a 5 barbed wire fence on both sides of the road, and the tree stretches from one to the other. I can't go back the other way. I'm not going to do that again. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? So I'm like, what are we going to do? So we walk about a quarter mile down the road, and a friend happened to be driving by with a very large truck and a real chain this time. So he hooks out to it and pulls it right out of the way. And it was home free. After that, I got home and had to do a lot of explaining to my parents. By the way, my parents hadn't heard this real story until they watched this online first service. So, whoops. So, anyways, I had to do a lot of explaining. But my point is, shortcuts aren't always what they seem, right? We think that oh, hey, the shortcut's going to lead me to the right path. I can get there faster. I can have so much more time for activities, right? I'll have all this time to do all this other stuff because I won't be focusing on this. It's faster. It's easier, we think, right? And when my friend told me he had a shortcut, I believed him. Don't trust your friends when you're 14. Come on, people. But, like I said before, just like my nephew, extremely impatient, and yeah. So anyways, my point is, again, that you can't take shortcuts because they don't always work out for you in life, right? We go online. In fact, I was actually in the store the other day, and I walk down the aisle, and I see all these magazines, you know, like the crummy, like, oh, this person's doing this today, and this person is cheating on that person, you know, like, it's, yeah, garbage. But anyways, there was one like 10 shortcuts to a happy life. I was like, all right, I'm definitely going to read that. or 10 shortcuts to get rich quick. We know that's a pyramid scheme, right? Don't do that because it never pans out well for us. And we always think like, oh, I'm going to be the cool guy. I'm going to be happy. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go buy a truck, brand new. I have no idea how much it costs. Not that anyone in this church has ever done that before. I don't know how much it costs, but I can make the payments. That's all that matters, is I'm going to be happy driving my brand new truck, right? Or the iPhone 7, I need that one, because right now I only have the iPhone 6. That one's not water resistant. It's just not working for me, and I'm just not happy with it. I mean, it works fine, yeah, sure, but it doesn't have the updated camera. It's not water resistant. So I'm going to get the iPhone 7 because that is going to make me happy, right? Or I need the brand new pair of Yeezys because that's going to make me look awesome, and I'll be happy, right? Right? We're always looking for these things for the world, for a shortcut to take us there, to make us happy, to make us rich. You know, like they even got the lose 10 pounds fast in 10 days, or there's 10 shortcuts to get that girl you want, or 30 days to abs of steel, more like flabs of steel. But we're always looking for that way to be happy. And God has provided that for us. There's a different way, but it's a longer path, okay? The biggest reason we're always looking for a shortcut, though, is because we don't have the patience to wait. We don't have it. So today I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to skip the shortcut. Okay? Skip the shortcut. They rarely ever pan out. Rarely. And you're like, oh, my life is so busy, though. I got to do dishes today. I got to mow the lawn. I got to take out the trash. The kids need a haircut. I'm not talking about efficiency at home, people. I'm talking about shortcuts in life, right? The times when you want something from God, that you ask him to change your life, right? Like, I need you, God. I want this change now, but you don't have the patience to wait. We're going to look at a story in the Bible, 1 Samuel 13, that talks about Saul and his lack of patience. If we look and we open that first verse, just to foreshadow this a little bit. So what had happened? Saul, good old Saul. So Saul is Saul's leading a troop of 2,000 men. And Jonathan had taken a troop of 1,000 men, and they had divided up. And they were going to go do this army thing, military thing, right? So he was supposed to go and wait at Gilgal and wait for 7 days, Samuel told him. And then on the 7 days, he'll be doing some stuff. Well, we're going to read this real quick. And it says, meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were slipping away rapidly. He didn't come when he said he was going to come. I prayed for that. It didn't happen yet. I need this now. I need your help. Where are you at? Right? See, this doesn't seem like a big deal, right? Not yet. Not yet. Saul was getting extremely impatient. Samuel told him he would be there in 7 days. How many times in our life do we pray for that? You know, I need it in this amount of time, God. I'm putting you on a timeline. This is how I work, and you need to work the same way. I need a new car by Tuesday. Do you? Do you? Right? When it doesn't happen right away, we get impatient. We start to get anxious. God, I want that healing. God, I want you to fix my marriage. God, help me out of this situation. God, are you even listening to me? Do you hear what I'm saying? We think he's forgotten about us because we haven't got an answer yet, right? And then suddenly, we magically become a raging maniac, go into panic mode, right? God, I need this now. You're not listening to me. This is intense, like a camping trip, okay? This is just, I can't handle this. I need you right here. Where have you been? This isn't working. You need to step up. You need to get on the game, right? Where are you at? But God doesn't hear us when we're in that state. He doesn't hear your fret. He doesn't hear your state of just maniac, right? When you flip out, right? He knows you. He knows what's going on. If we continue on to verse 9, it says, "So he demanded, bring me burnt offerings and peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself." Well, what's the big deal about that? This doesn't seem like a big thing, right? He handled it himself. Have you guys ever watched a video of brain surgery? Okay, I have. It's awesome. Like, you look, you're like, oh, that's cool. Oh, I can't stop. Oh, yep. That's gooey. Oh, it's gooey. Right? But imagine watching that YouTube video and then going and performing brain surgery. Perfectly legit, right? I don't see it. There's no gray area there, right? You can figure this all out. Well, this is kind of what happened with Saul. So Saul was a king. Samuel was a priest. They were both in different areas, right? They were both blessed with different areas in their life. Saul was blessed as a leader. Samuel was blessed with the word of God. What happens when Saul does this is he does the burnt offering, but he has absolutely no idea what he's doing. He doesn't understand it. It doesn't have any meaning. He just knows that that's what we do, and that's going to make it better. We kind of do that a lot too, don't we? Yeah, we're like, oh, well, this is what everyone else does in church, so I'm going to do it too. We need to know the meaning. So Saul does that shortcut, works out great. He thinks he's got it. Sit around waiting, you know, just hanging out. And then we go to verse 10. Just as Saul was finishing the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet him and welcome him. But Samuel said, "What is this you've done?" Saul's like, "Oh, I got this. I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would. The Philistines were at Michmash ready for battle, so I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came." Right? Lack, oh, the patience. So it wasn't the fact that he waited 7 days, right? Because Saul was there. It was the seventh day. And he's like, this isn't happening. Samuel's not showing up. But Samuel did show up. He said 7 days, right? It was the seventh day. He wasn't late. Just wasn't there on Saul's timing. Because Saul was focused on the other things going on around him instead of what he should have been focused on. Right? And did you see what Saul did there? He took that blame and put it right on Samuel. It's not my fault you didn't get here on time. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm impatient. Right? We deflect it. We take that blame and we shove it on someone else. We say, hey, you know, you didn't show up, or he said or she said, so I had to do this myself. You know, you didn't show up when you said you would, so I had to, you know, build this rocket myself. It wasn't my fault that it blew up in 10 billion pieces just because I'm not a rocket scientist. Right? I got news for you. The reason why Saul was doing this, he jumped ahead because it wasn't part of his plan, right? It wasn't part of what he had planned in his head. He saw everyone around moving, but guess what? Nothing in life ever goes as planned. Never. I mean, think about it. How many people in here that are going to college or have been in college and you've declared a major? How many times has that major changed? Right? Stay with me, and you'll hear a little bit of that story a little bit later on. But we're not, ultimately, we're not in control. We think we are. We think we've got this. We think we own this. We think we can do anything without God. But can we really? Can we really? There's always that shortcut. Yeah, you can take that shortcut. Didn't work out well for me. Got stuck on a gravel road. But we'll continue on to verse 13. It says, how foolish. This is Samuel talking to Saul. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the commandment the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established you over the kingdom of Israel forever. Whoops. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. Whoa, 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 wait. You didn't tell me that was going to happen. That wasn't part of this deal. You said 7 days. It was 7 days. Just because I did it without you doesn't mean anything, right? We did a lot in our lives, right? We never think of the consequence to the shortcut. We never think, oh, hey, this is going to end badly. Oh, hey, this isn't going to last me. Yeah, it'll work for a little bit, make me happy for a little bit. A brand new car smells great for about 2 months. Then it smells like your dog. Right? Don't miss your blessing for the shortcut. Don't miss out. Saul could have had a kingdom forever. Could have had it forever. It could have been passed down, right? But because he took the shortcut, he missed his blessing. The healing isn't always in the answer. The fix isn't always in the answer. The help isn't always in the answer. And the answer isn't always in the answer. Now you're confused, right? It's often in the wait. In that wait, God will equip you. He will prepare you in that wait, and he will bless you in that wait. Have a little patience and just wait. Okay? What I didn't tell you in the beginning about the story of the campfire, my nephew, the one that was over here glug, 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 glug with the lighter fluid, was it burned awesome for about 3 minutes. Then the lighter fluid was gone. Yep. Yep. Kind of like us. Yep. We burn awesome on that shortcut for a few minutes, and then it's gone, and we're right back to where we were. His fireball was like us, as in the fact, like Pastor Alex says. You ever heard this when Pastor Alex says this? Blow in, blow up, and blow out. Don't we do that? We come in like, this is going to be great. Woohoo, party. And then poof, downslide. It never works. And God's timing doesn't always align with our timing. And there's purpose in that. There's purpose in the fact that he might wait a little longer than you to give the answer than what you wanted, right? Because he's preparing you and equipping you in that. So I say it again, don't miss your blessing because of a shortcut. You're not always going to be given another chance. There's going to be situations in life where it's only once, right? If you don't have the, again, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Now, the question I want to ask you is, a great philosopher asked me this question the other day, Andy Brower. Is impatience a disbelief or lack of faith in God? Think about that for a second. Is it either or both, or is it either? Right? Because we think, like, okay, God, I asked you for this, and it's not happening yet, so I don't have the faith that you're going to do it in my time limit. I don't have the faith you're going to do it at all. Right? I think that it's going to happen when I want it to happen, but since you're not making it happen that way, where's the faith? Where's the belief? I'm going to end this with a story and a little bit about myself. So I didn't always do things the way God wanted me to. Shocker. when I graduated from high school, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Dallas, Texas. I'm going to get a degree in software development. How many of you can see me doing software development? I don't know what I was thinking. But anyways, I wasn't. I was like, I'm going to make so much money. I'm going to have cool cars, a cool house. And then everything's going to go great. It's going to be awesome. I did that for about 3 years. I'm like, I cannot do this anymore. Brick wall. Right? So I moved up to South Dakota again, to Brookings. SDSU, shout out. And I went to school for interior design. Right? So I was like, okay, now I've got this figured out. I can do this now. Now I'm going to listen, and this is going to work right. Well, 2 years into that, I got impatient again. Signed up for the Air National Guard. Like, this is awesome. Well, when you did that, I had to take a year off from school. That wasn't my calling. It wasn't what God had blessed me with, and I was trying to make it happen. Right? So, year after that goes by, I get it all sorted out, I'm back in school. I graduate. So, just asked me how long. So, I went to school for 8 years. I'm not a brain surgeon, not a doctor. I don't have a master's. No, I went to school for 8 years. Do not compare me to Van Wilder. It's Van Singray. Thank you. But yeah, so I went to school for 8 years. What a wait, right? When I graduated, I was going to go back to Dallas, Texas. I was going to have a great career in interior design. I was going to be working on these amazing projects, and it was going to be just the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? And my wife and I were going to move down there. It was going to be great. We had it all figured out. And then I got a word from God. He says, go to Sioux Falls and wait. It's like, why don't you send me Antarctica? I'd rather be there. Come on. I mean, Dallas, Texas, where I can wear my flip-flops all year round, or Sioux Falls. So I was like, this is not cool. But this time, I did it different. I listened. And I waited. A little bit later, you know, I was working a job that wasn't paying much. It was $1,000 a month, guys. Wasn't going to pay the bills. So something had happened. I got anxious. But all of a sudden a job opening came open. God's like, go for it. I've been at that job for 6 years. Now, another thing is, in that wait, a lot of things have happened to me. God has worked in me. God has changed my life dramatically. My wife and I used to live right over here downtown, and we were walking downtown. We're going to go check out the scene that we shouldn't have been checking out. And we saw a sign on the side of a church. It said New Life Church. I was like, we should go check that out someday. Yeah, let's call our friends up, Andy and Allie, and tell them we're going to go check that out. Yeah, sure. So we make arrangements to meet them there on Sunday. We didn't go. And turns out they didn't either. But 6 months go by, and I'm like, we need to check this place out. So we go, we get in the lobby, and of all people, Andy and Allie are standing right there. We're like, oh, man, how long you guys been coming here? They're like, this is our first time. Like, how long you guys been coming? It's our first time. Weird. Serendipity. So I've been here now for over 5 years. I knew God wanted to use me, and I had no idea how. I didn't know. I started here as a greeter on the First Impressions team, handing out bulletins. I'm like, God's using me. This is what he's using me. This is what he wanted. Okay, I'm cool with this. That's it, then this is what we're doing. Next thing you know, I get put in charge of the First Impressions team. It's like, oh, okay, well, God, I could do this too. I didn't think it was my skill set, but we can do this. And then I get put in charge of a whole bunch of other stuff. And then all of a sudden, we're at a conference, and I got to tell this story. Sorry, Pastor Alex. Pastor Alex kind of does things at random sometimes. Surprise. But we're at a conference in the middle of worship. He leans over to me and says, hey, you ever thought about being a youth pastor? What? What? I was like, no. I'm like, I'm not good enough for that yet. I don't have the skills for that. Well, 6 months more go by, and guess what? I was the youth pastor. That was 2 years ago. What I'm saying is, don't miss your opportunity because of your impatience. God wants to bless you during that wait. He will work on you. He will transform you. He will change your life. All you got to do is wait. Okay? If we can get the sappy piano music going here. But right now, what I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity. You've been impatient in your life, maybe. Maybe you haven't. If you say you haven't, you're lying, I know. But I want to give you an opportunity today to take a step forward. An opportunity to say, God, I've been impatient. I want to change. I want to wait for your blessing. I want to wait for what you have for me. I want to be obedient, and I want to listen to what you've got. Because what I'm doing isn't working. It keeps crashing and burning. So if I could have everyone bow your heads and close your eyes, what I want to do right now is give you the opportunity to give your life to God, to take that step, to move forward and wait and see what he does in your life. So I'm going to count to three. On the count of three, if that's you, if you want to take that step, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Please raise your hand if that's you. We got one hand, two hands, three hands, four hands, five, six. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. What we're going to do is we're going to pray for you guys right now. And I want, it's just remember, this is your step. This is your wait. Okay? God, I just want to thank you for everyone here today. I want to thank you for what you're doing in this church and the people around the world. God, thank you for every change you make in our life. Thank you for giving us patience for that next step that we're waiting for. I want you guys to repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I've sinned. I'm messed up and I've been impatient. God, I'm asking you to come into my heart today. I believe you are my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe that I have been forgiven. Thank you, God. Today is the day I move forward with you. The past is behind me, and the future is before me. In Jesus' name, amen.